Right, very good. Very good. Well, it's great to be together here the first Sunday of Lent. I hope you're off to an amazing Lent, and I think we're going to have a wonderful time together looking at a few things. And what I want to do this Lent starting today is look at what it means for God to be present and active with us all the time, everywhere we are, just completely. There's never a time when God is not active and present. And I want to look at some of those occasions where we would wish that God was not active and present, where we want to hide what we're doing from God so that God will not do anything to us. And there are several things that I have in mind. Today I want to look at anger, and then as Lent goes on, be looking at those things I ought not to have done that I have done, and those things that I've done that I ought not to have done. You're probably thinking of some for yourself right now. And then also frustration, and then also getting caught in the act. So we're going to look at all those, because all those, and there are more, of course, but, these are good ones, where we would want God to not intervene, step in, or do anything until we're done taking care of what it is we're after. And so today I want to look at anger. I touched on it a little bit on Ash Wednesday, but I want to go a little deeper into anger today. I thought, that'd be a great start for Lent. We'll just dive headfirst into that. And we'll see some things that Jesus did, and we'll see some ways for us to move ahead. And we've all been angry at different things, and you can imagine that I have. I know that's hard to imagine, nice guy like me. What are you talking about, John? Well, I mean, it's true. That's happened. And I remembered one instance. I guess it was more of an ongoing relationship with one of our members at the church in Pennsylvania we were at. I know it's hard for you to imagine I could be angry at a church member, but nonetheless, it happened. Full disclosure, transparency. This went on, and this person would go kind of back and forth. They would be very receptive and real nice, and then kind of communicate, "I hate you."
It wasn't me.
No, it wasn't. I'm glad that that's cleared up. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, all right. So here I was with this person, and I was kind of at my wit's end thinking, this is awful. This is just awful. And I didn't know what to do about it. And I was sharing it with some clergy friends of mine. By the way, if you see a group of clergy together at Starbucks or Panera or something, you should start praying for that group immediately. That's some other time. We'll deal with that some other time. But nonetheless, I was sharing with them, and one of them said, that sounds to me a lot like borderline personality disorder. And Pete, you might be able to help me out with this later, of course. They said, you ought to read this book called I Hate You, Don't Leave Me. And I thought, well, this is the exact pattern that's going on with this person. I read the book, and things were just, it's just difficult, as you could imagine. You've probably had some instances like this or other types of relationships where that's going on. And so things are going along, and this person eventually moves out of state. Okay, and Lent, full transparency, much to my great relief. But starts writing me. This is a little bit, before email was really well used. One letter would be, very, very nice and all this. And the next letter would be, but you've got to shape up, you've got to do this, and so, you know, I hate you, don't leave me, I hate you, don't leave me. And then kind of offered to have a counselor work at this with us, which I was thinking, this feels a little like sabotage, but okay. All right. So I agreed to do it and talked to the counselor on the phone, and the person starts writing, you know, this is great, I think we can make some progress and have some resolution and so forth. And then sends another letter, which you can imagine was of an entirely different nature. You've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to shape up about this and about that, and you did this and this and this. And I just had it. That was the end of it. I was really angry about that. So I wrote back and said, I've already done that. I'm not going to do it again. And do not contact me again. I did that. Everybody okay? And, you know, if you got into a situation like that with somebody, I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry. If you got into a situation like that and you came to me and asked me, what should I do? I would say, tell him you understand what's going on, and then tell him to never talk to you again. That's what I would do. I'm hoping I don't get a lot of phone calls this week. Great, that's what I wanted to hear, right? And I was angry when I did that. I had also come up with that strategy, but I remember being just really angry about it. And that relationship never resolved. Nothing ever happened. I never heard from that person again. And I don't know where that person is. But I know this. God did not cut me off because I was angry. And that is one of the main things that we can feel and even want when we're angry. Because we don't want God coming in there and either obliterating us for having such an attitude or correcting us so that we don't get to do what we actually want to do when we're angry. And we can hide from God. We can just hide from God because of that. I want to thank all of you right now who are saying, yes, that's true. Absolutely. You're shaking your head, yes. It is true. It's absolutely true. We can do that. And that is the temptation that we have, is to hide from God when we want it our own way. Especially when we're angry. And that's something, if you will, that Satan does. And we see Satan doing that with Jesus here in the gospel story. You know, and it's familiar with us. You know, every Lent we hear it. And other times, here Jesus is going to... He just had his big day, actually. You recall, he was baptized. The Spirit comes out of heaven, the voice from heaven. Oh, it's a huge day. Absolutely great. And then the next thing we see is that the Spirit of God drives Jesus into the desert to fast for 40 days. This isn't because Jesus thought, well, I better get myself shaped up. It was the Spirit of God drove him into the desert for 40 days. Now, Jesus is a very strong individual, physically strong. And, you know, we lived in Phoenix for 8 years in the Southwest desert area. And I don't even want to go into the desert for 40 minutes after knowing that's like, there's Jesus 40 days fasting. Fasting. This man is tough. And then here comes the devil, as you know, and starts tempting Jesus. And tempting Jesus about three main things. Appetite. I mean, he's been fasting for 40 days, so that's a good place to start with temptation. Just, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And then approval, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off and let's see if the Father saves you by sending angels. The Bible says it'll happen. And then, appetite, approval, and ambition. Worship me and you will be ruler of the entire world. All of these things were spoken to Jesus, not only for Satan to take over and all this, but the trigger was anger. If you are the Son of God, doesn't it make you angry if somebody comes up and says, well, if you are who you say you are, if you say you're able to do that, well, let's see it. Come on. Let's just debate your anger. And so what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus, of course, quotes the scriptures and says, well, no, man doesn't live by bread alone. And, it's different thing. And then finally he says, Satan, get away. Now, right there is where you and I can get easily derailed and continue to hide from God when we think to ourselves, well, Jesus quoted the scripture and that took care of everything. So if I memorize the scripture, and when I get into trouble or some situation and I quote it, then I'll be okay too. Derailed. That is derailed. That sets us up for failure. The reason it sets us up for failure is not because it's bad to memorize scripture, not because it's bad to remember what it is, or study it, or anything. All of that is very, very good. Where we get derailed with that approach is that following God, doing what we think is a Christian life, depends on our personal capacity to memorize and remember Bible verses. If we successfully remember a Bible verse and can call it to mind and even quote it, that will lead us eventually to our condemnation, because we will not be able to live up to what the Word says on our own capacity and our own ability. We need absolutely the Spirit of God to empower us to follow it. Everybody all right? Now, I don't want you to stop studying the Bible. I don't want you to stop memorizing verses. I don't want you to stop doing things so that you can remember what the Bible says. I don't want you to do anything like that. What I want you to do is to rely upon the Spirit of God to follow Jesus. And there'll be occasions when the Spirit of God brings Bible verses to mind. There'll be other things the Spirit of God brings to mind as well. And it is leaning on the Spirit of God. Or, you know, that old Baptist hymn, leaning on Jesus. Leaning on the everlasting arms. See, there's the difference I want to point out, and that I hope all during Lent we will be able to take hold of and have mark our lives is this. We can learn about Jesus. And many of us, myself included, which included a seminary degree, for crying out loud, from several seminaries, we can define the Christian life as learning about Jesus. There's a lot to learn about Jesus. It's great to learn about Jesus. In fact, John says in his gospel that Jesus did so much that all of the libraries in the world could not hold books, enough books to recount what he did. We can always be learning about Jesus. But it is possible, as perhaps you've discovered, to learn about Jesus and not learn from Jesus. And we learn from Jesus when there is that direct relationship, and we know the Spirit of God is providing to us, leading us, guiding us, directing us, getting something across to us, giving us something that we need to know, expanding us in some way, bringing us to the cross and resurrection of ourselves every day, things like that that come from the Spirit of God. And I, you know, from where I stand, it is a lot better for me to rely on the Spirit of God and what the Spirit of God will provide for that than for me to remember Bible verses that I may have forgotten and won't be able to draw back up. Now, I can always go back to the Bible. If I can remember like one or two words out of the verse, maybe I can find it. Or I can ask God, God, could you help me find this verse? Sat at my desk a number of times doing that. But it is not going to help me follow in the steps of Jesus. That comes by the Spirit of God. That comes through learning from Jesus in a direct relationship. That's where the power lies. That's where our capacity is increased. And as I've mentioned to you from time to time before, God's communication with us is continuous. It is flowing to us all the time. There are things God is telling you right now by the power of the Spirit at this moment. And then the next moment there'll be more. And the next moment there'll be more. And into this afternoon there'll be more. And today and tomorrow and every day of our lives. It is a continual flow of the communication of God to us all the time. And if you are angry, that is not cut off. God really helped me see that after this instance with the person who I was so angry with. Continually providing. God did not cut me off. One of the ways that I show that is that shortly after that incident, I went into a time between churches, was unemployed for a few months, about 5 months, and we were really, you know, financially in a bad place. And this other ministry I had been working with for some time was in the process of closing down. And they paid our mortgage for 2 months. Didn't even tell me they were going to do that. Just said, here, take this. Well, I didn't have any way of paying it. That was the provision of God. As a sign, God had not cut me off because I was angry just a little bit before that. In fact, what God was doing, and this is what he'll do with each of us, is this. God will keep telling us, I have something for you. So if you're really angry at some point, And you're thinking, all right, I'm angry, I'm a Christian, oh, what am I going to do? Got to be a Bible verse. Let's see. And you come up with the Bible verse, and maybe it doesn't work, and you think, oh, I just don't know the Bible well enough. What kind of Christian am I? See, it just leads to condemnation. But even in that anger, while you're angry, in the middle of being angry, when you don't want to give up being angry, you sense this tap on the shoulder. And this thought comes through your mind. I've got something for you. That would be the Spirit of God. At the very least, telling you you're not cut off. And then there might be some more. Maybe something you need for that situation. Maybe something else that has nothing to do with what you're angry about, but it is still from God. And it'll build you up. It'll do something with you that you need. God will provide for you something that comes directly from the Spirit of God to you. Now, some of you know what we call that. We call it a Kairos moment. Kairos being Greek for the fullness of time. Chronos being Greek for, you know, 1 minute after the other, after the Kairos. The fullness of time. And those moments are there all the time. And you don't have to be all prayed up for God to give you one. Because God is giving you one right now. All right. Here's my suggestion for you for how to do this. What I'm suggesting to you is at this moment, God is communicating to you something for you. And there's probably some instance where you remember being angry. And that's come to mind. And the temptation would be concerning approval, your approval before God. Well, I was angry. God doesn't approve of that. So God's going to cut me off. That would be the temptation. And in some way or another this morning, you might say to God, hey, I was angry then. I didn't want you knowing that. But what do you have for me? And then just receive it. No matter what it is, even if it's not an answer to that situation, just whatever it is. Because that will build you up. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we ask at this moment that you would make very clear to us exactly what you want each of us to receive from you right now. We ask that you would give us hearts to receive that always and the capacity to walk in it always, and that we would know how you will never leave us or forsake us because you are always active and present in our lives. And we ask that this would be the case for us. All for the glory of your name. Amen.